Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we get into some more dumb LeBron tweets. Gina's got COVID. We'll get into that. And the news. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
We're back inside the toolbox with Stacks and Stacks of the Deeper Tracks. This hour, commercial free, brought to you by Olive Garden. Olive Garden, when you're here, you wish you were anywhere but. And wait, wasn't that just a commercial? 2022 is off to a roaring start, and if you think it's bad now, I got news for you. It's going to get worse. So turn up the radio, scream at windmills, and shake your fist at the sky. Let's dig into a band that makes a statement with a question. Who? You're goddamn right.
I've had enough of being nice. I've had enough of lying wrong. I've had enough of trying to love my brother. Ooh, I've had enough of being good. I'm doing everything like I'm told I should. If you need a lover, you better find a lover.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Scott Baio, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, vexed about the vax, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. A church is going to mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
She's big north of the border.
Gina Grad, confined to her home.
Quarantine.
Yeah.
Quarantine.
Yeah.
Positive COVID test, everybody. When did you get the positive COVID test?
This morning. Oh, wow. Yesterday, I was not feeling awesome. And last night, I know, a famous vaudeville joke, but my face hurt so bad.
Yeah, it's like killing us.
Thank you. My forehead, my teeth, my jaw, like it just hurts so bad. I thought I was getting a sinus infection. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ah, shit, I might as well. Because remember when I had to get up at 6:30 in the morning and stand in line like, communist Russia? Mm-hmm. We had a leftover test and I had two blue lines. So I'm pregnant with COVID.
All right. Expecting?
So the symptoms,
yes, I am.
The symptoms were a cough and like an achiness around your facade.
Yeah, it really feels like a cold, like you're getting a sinus infection. I was told it'll probably feel a little worse, and then it'll get better. But I'm vaxxed and boosted, so hopefully this just feels kind of yucky. This is not, you know, knock on wood, this is not, you know.
Well, how do we know? Maybe you've had it for a little bit. I mean, why should you feel worse tomorrow? Like maybe you've had it for 3 days.
That's possible, but my symptoms are... Yeah, you're right. My symptoms are kind of what they are now. My throat feels scratchy. I'm coughing. I'm sneezing. And my face hurts. But
it's
you're right.
Killing.
Maybe this
all
is...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, so I think the deal is everyone's going to get the new variant.
Right.
That's what they say. And if you're vaxxed, you should be fine. And even if you're not in a old or fat or ill or something, you'll probably be fine, too. And then comes testing, which is, it seems like a lot of people who test are going to be positive.
Yes.
And then you have to quarantine for 5 days. So,
well, they knocked it from 10 to 5, which is nice.
I think a lot of people are not going to get tested, just assuming that they're, you wake up with a cough, you may go positive, and then you don't want to quarantine for 5 days.
Yeah. And honestly, Adam, if it was just you and me, I probably would have come in, but I don't want to kill Brian.
I ruined
this
everything
early.
Again. Ruined
I know.
Everything again.
This early in the year, I can't be responsible for that.
What is your experiences, you and Brian, with and anyone here with the vax check? when you go into establishments. So I went to the Supercuts in Burbank, where I get my hair cut on Friday. I walked in, and the lady hair person said, well, she said a couple of things. She said, I'll get into something else she said, but she said,
did she say, why you no eat? You're looking so skinny.
She was Cuban. Oh, I don't know if you got a Cuban in you, but yes, the women who work in LA, especially the ones that cut hair, do nails, tend to other human beings, nurses, whatever it is, they're all from somewhere else. That is not, you do not see the blue-eyed blonde-haired chicks out here doing maybe the higher-end stuff, but the day-in and day-out, you know, lunch pail, Josephine six-pack, go-to-work kind of chicks. They're all from somewhere. And so she said, do I have my vax card? And I said, oh, I got a picture of it somewhere in my phone. And she said, yeah, all right. No. She just said, sit down. I've been getting a lot of wave past, like, all right. Wow. She just sort of said, like, just tell my check. So that was that.
I guess it depends where you go, because if you're going to the, you know, Super Fantastics, maybe. But we've been going to the theater and the zoo lights, and you are literally, it looks like the apocalypse. It's like people in nice clothes with like high heels and suits, and you get in line for the metal detector. Mm. Then you get in line for your vaccination. It's like we're living in some dystopia. So I've been asked for it plenty of times. Even at Sephora last week, they asked for it.
They just don't really follow through.
I don't remember.
There's been all follow through.
You guys should fill in the blanks in my memory, because when we went to Portland, I don't recall being asked for my vax at all, even in the airport, which is strangely odd, but here we are.
No.
Okay, well then, that said, this, I don't know if you noticed, there's been a flurry of movies released in the last month or so, and I go to the AMC at Century City two or three times a week, quite often, and they are diligent. They have one line for your vax card, and if you don't have it, you go to the side, find it. If you can't find it, you go to the ticket line and blah blah blah. But they are, maybe because it's corporate, maybe because they don't give a shit about, you know, like the haircut lady needs her, he needs $20.
I think it's a situation. I think we're getting to this situation of the on behalf of your Seattle-based flight crew versus your Houston-based flight crew. So there's you think about masking on a plane. Mm-hmm. Okay, they made a federal mandate, you must wear a mask on an airplane.
That I remember. I meant specifically the
other. It is either enforced vigorously, depending on the Seattle-based flight crew and who you're dealing with, or it is not. I mean, I've flown, because how else would you explain flying Delta flights all over the country or flying Southwest flights and having some crews that are very vigorous about this and some that are very lackadaisical about it? And I bet if you went to Orange County, they'd be much more lax about it. Mm. And I bet if you go to Burbank or you go to the Valley and they're kind of, and then you go to the West Side, you're probably going to find, or you go to the theater, musical theater, versus getting a haircut in Reseda. You know, it's all, at a certain point, it's left up to the human being who's standing there. And I bet there's a lot of wave buys. And, you know, I bet if you went in to a transmission repair place in the San Fernando Valley, they just,
they're not going to be so diligent.
They wouldn't even look up. But if you're going to go see musical theater on the West Side, then you're going to get it. All right, Scott Baio is coming in. Scott says, I guess he just golfs all day. He doesn't really do anything. We had the Man Show Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And we played you one of those with Frank Gifford, maybe Andre the Giant. And it's about 6 minutes long, so I think we'll just do the introduction. And maybe we'll play the rest on a later date. But this Scott Baio was the first.
You gotta play it for him, buddy.
Inductee.
Come on.
Into the Man Show Hall of Fame. He was the first one inducted.
Fame.
I guess he said Man Show Hall of Fame.
Hallowed walls.
walls erected to honor the great men of our time. Man like, well, nobody yet, because it's the first one we've done. But you have to start someplace, and that someplace is Brooklyn, New York. The date, September 22nd, 1961. The day a child was born. A child that would ultimately change the course of television history. His name was Scott Baio. In 1977, he burst into our consciousness like no one since the Beatles. As Chachi Arcola, streetwise nephew to the Fonz, he captured the imagination of American teenagers searching for a hero. Chachi was that hero, receiving 5,000 fan letters a week, more than co-stars Donnie Most and Anson Williams combined. Those were happy days indeed. The nation so loved this genial young Italian that in 1982, ABC gave him his own series, a spin-off star vehicle called Joni Loves Chachi. Yes, alas, Scott's talents were both underused and overestimated, and Joni Loves Chachi died a quick death at the hands of network brass. But he would not be deterred. Later that year, the big screen came calling, and with it, the beginning of a remarkable partnership with fellow teen idol Willie Ames. The movie was zapped, and the results were magical. Scott returned to his first love, television. Again paired with the mop-top Ames, Charles in Charge began an extraordinary 7-year run. But even more extraordinary than Scott's professional career is his personal life. While Ames spiraled into oblivion, Baio has been linked with some of the most desirable women in the world. Heather Locklear. Nicolette Sheridan. Brooke Shields. That girl who was on Growing Pains. Melissa Gilbert. Beverly D'Angelo. Nicole Eggert. And Pamela Anderson.
All right. You know, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about Pete Davidson's run.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we've had some guys like your Warren Beatty's and your Baio's, your mm-hmm. Beatty's and your Baio's. Now, I'm just in the B's.
Sure.
who've had a pretty good run with the ladies. But I feel like they spread it out over a number of years.
Yeah.
Pete Davidson's knocked it out in about 14 months.
Do you think this is social media or the access to celebrities? Like if you're Warren Beatty, you had every agent, contact their agent, but a guy made it the Ivy, blah, blah, blah. Nowadays, like, hey, slam the DMs. Hey, girl.
Right.
I think everything is just sped up in general. Uh-huh. Everything is just at a faster yeah. clip. You know, used to send away. Remember this one? I was just working on my book. When you'd watch a sitcom and you could send away for the transcript.
Oh. Yes.
Forgot about that.
I always remember that. I always remember that being the request at the end of People's Court.
And you could wait for 3 weeks before this brick showed up at your house.
Yes.
Finally.
When you would order something via the mail, it would be 4 to 7 weeks. Oh. Like there was no next day Amazon, 2 day fast track. I mean, we're just in a track. We're just moving faster with everything.
Right.
And maybe Pete Davidson's hog is just moving faster with everything. Anyway, we forgot. Wasn't highlighted in there, but before Zapped, there was that crazy movie that I saw in the movie theater when I was a kid, Bugsy Malone.
Oh, he was in that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was, I think, the star of Bugsy Malone. Him and Jodie Foster. But Jodie, later on, he was in Foxes with Jodie Foster, I think, wow. as well. It's like,
why don't they talk much these days?
Well, they're both, you know, somewhere Calabasas, Malibu. I'm sure they get together and brunch.
They probably just get together and talk about Mel Gibson.
Well, you know, Jodie's always out and about making the scene.
That's true, yeah.
Flashing them for the paparazzi. Mm-hmm. I always use her as an example of when they go, oh, you can't avoid the pop. Jodie Foster.
When's the last time you heard a word from her in public?
You don't even see still shots of her walking out of a farmer's market in Calabasas. Anyway, Bugsy Malone was a weird movie. It was a high concept movie. It was a gangster movie, a traditional kind of 30s, 40s gangster movie, but they made it in 76, and it was just all kids in the roles of adults, and they had Tommy guns and everything, but they fired whipped cream.
Yeah, it's come up on the show
shaving
before.
Cream.
It's
yeah.
even our surprisingly high Rotten Tomato score. We're like, oh, this has got to be 20%. And it's like,
yeah, it's got to be like Rocky Horror Picture Show, like just a bad cult classic.
It was written and directed by Alan Parker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mississippi Burning. Well, many movies, but.
Pink Floyd? What?
Well, he did Pink Floyd's the Wall, Mississippi Burning.
Oh, you got Pink Floyd the All. So I didn't know if they wrote something about detergent. Oh.
Sorry.
I was like, Pink Floyd the All. Wow. Yeah. Well, maybe it's a good movie.
I was shocked. I think, if I remember correctly, the Rotten Tomatoes score was higher than I expected.
Yes.
He also directed Fame, Gina.
There you go.
Ooh. Oh, now we're talking. I'm going to live forever.
I love that movie, Gina.
It's great.
Saw it in the theater.
Please tell me their favorite song is not Fame in that movie. It's The Body Electric.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I sing The Body Electric.
Yeah, no, knock it off. I do. And I remember lots of stuff from that movie. It was like 1980. Saw it in Westwood. I think it was I saw it in Westwood with Beth Ringwald. I recall... And Arnold Schwarzenegger came out of the theater.
Oh, really?
Wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Well, that's
smoking
hilarious.
A cigar.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Gotta love cigars.
I remember that. I remember the dad doing something my dad would never do. Bruno's dad, he was a cab driver. And he pulled up into the street and he stopped his cab and he got like two big speakers out, yep. I think, and he put them on the hood of the cab. He's like, my son, the genius. And he started cranking up the music somehow and everyone broke into dance.
I just remember that when Love Line came on.
I remember being 15 going, my dad would never do that. All right. So we'll talk to Scott. Also, he also did Midnight Express.
Yeah.
So this guy
Alan Parker.
Yeah, Alan Parker.
Yeah, he did. Bugsy Malone.
He's a very famous director.
Bugsy Malone is, I think, one of his first ones.
And then Midnight Express is only a few years later.
2 years later.
That's years crazy.
That yeah.
That's crazy range.
It is. His whole career, Fame, and then Mississippi Burning, which is kind of this sort of intense drama, and what was the other? Pink Floyd's The Wall,
talk to that guy. But Fame, Mississippi Burning, Bugsy Malone was just, kids that had Tommy guns that shot shaving cream, lighthearted romp of a whatever, and then into one of the heaviest movies ever. Wow.
You can't talk to him, though. He passed away in July 2020.
Oh. Just swept up in that wave.
He should get the most range award. I mean, some guys, the Scorsese's great, but he kind of makes the same movies. He has a lane, This guy's, it's crazy doing Fame and then Mississippi Burning and then, what was the other one? Midnight Express. Yeah. Well, Midnight Express. That was one of the movies that I wouldn't even watch that movie because I was like, I've heard enough. Mm. Like, I don't want to be that bummed out.
It's not fun.
I get it. It's bad. I don't want to see it.
Evita, you did.
Evita.
Chris, any other highlights?
The Commitments.
There you go. Yeah, I just saw that.
Oh, wow.
All right. LeBron James, I was watching my favorite TMZ and had this weird... It's not so much about LeBron James. It's more about a kind of interesting confusion and story. But LeBron, can you find the TMZ clip, by the way, Max Pata?
I can't, but I do have all the audio clips of that'll explain the entire story.
We'll show you the story. Did you guys hear about this one?
A few days ago, Kevin Porter Jr. of the Rockets, he hit a game winner against the Wizards. So here is the Wizards announcer.
We'll just play it for you.
Game winner.
Kevin Porter Jr., like his dad, pulled that trigger right at the right time. Boy, that one stung.
All right, so Kevin Porter Jr., so the announcer for the Wizards, or if he was for the other team, I don't know, but whoever announced it, he said Kevin Porter Jr. wins, the buzzer beater, and he pulled the trigger just at the right time.
Like his dad.
Yeah. Now, there's a Kevin Porter... who played in the league, and he was a professional player, years earlier, and this guy thought Kevin Porter Jr. was Kevin Porter's son.
Oh, it's not?
It is not.
Wow, that is uncomfortable.
Well, not only is it uncomfortable.
But wait, there's more.
Kevin Porter Jr., his dad, killed a 14-year-old by shooting them.
So Kevin Porter Sr. was charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of 14-year-old girl of a 14-year-old girl.
A 14-year-old girl.
Jesus.
How old was he? How old was Sr. when he did it?
I'm not sure. Porter Sr. claimed at the time he accidentally pulled the trigger, which a witness later backed up, but he spent more than 4 years behind bars as a result of the incident, and he later died in 2004 after he was shot 5 times in an incident at a bar.
Sounds like an interesting dad. Hey, Dad, if you're listening, that thing I was talking about with the dad driving the cab from fame, I'll take it back a little bit. You could have been Kevin Porter's dad.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so
The announcer for the Wizards, he apologized, like, look, there's a Washington player from back in the day named Kevin Porter. I thought it was his son, so that's what he's saying. But either way, LeBron sent out a tweet.
LeBron's pissed.
And his tweet reads, oh, he thought this was cool, huh? Nah, we ain't going for this. Sorry, but this ain't going to fly. How insensitive can you be to say something like this? Beat it, man. I pray for you, but there's no place in our beautiful game for you. And then
he's a fucking truffle sniffing pig. He's just out looking for racism or something.
Yeah. So later on, he was asked about this tweet after Glenn apologized, and LeBron is not backtracking.
This is the beauty of the era we're living in. The guy made a mistake. Mm-hmm. It's pretty traceable. It's a pretty traceable mistake. Yeah. Also, squeeze the trigger or pull the trigger, something that's used when you're talking about a guy pulling up with a second left on the clock. But I always reverse engineer it. Let's just say this guy knew what he was doing.
Okay.
Let's just say the announcer knew what he was doing, and he knew that Kevin Porter Jr.'s dad did squeeze the trigger and did kill a 14-year-old girl and did do time and then was shot 5 times.
My God.
Do you think he would do this?
He'd wait for the exact right moment when he was the buzzer beater.
And also, if in fact he did it just as LeBron suggested he did, in this era, especially in sports, especially when a white guy is talking about a black man, we don't have enough examples of people being immediately shit-canned and never heard from again. Sure.
Before the game is over.
Yeah. Yes.
We're
pulled out of the booth. I mean, if you did it intentionally, first off, it'd be a tough one. Like, you'd have to think about it. Like, okay, if this happens, then this is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, chambered.
Number one, chambered. Whoa, hate chambered. Crime.
That's right.
Tom Chambers. If you
son of Dom Chambers.
If you did it before, and if you did it on purpose, you would have to know it's suicide if that's what you went in. I mean, career suicide.
Yeah. You'd be like, this is the last game I broadcast.
Right.
Totally comfortable.
So why would anyone intentionally do it, LeBron? But
I don't know what LeBron's angle is, but this guy's a bad play-by-play guy. Like, you need to do your research, man. You need to know that this guy's dad is not that guy. He's a different guy. Maybe you don't know about the shooting, but this guy's just not a good play-by-play guy, whether or not he's
well,
a racist
he might
or
be
whatever,
good at play-by-play, but
down the road,
he no, could be good not, at play-by-play. But he probably should
I think this
know
is
that.
Evidence that you're
yeah,
bad.
That's exactly right, Brian. James told reporters, "I stand by my tweet and I stand by everything I said." And he said that media members should be expected to do their quote due diligence before calling a game.
Yeah, read the media guide.
Yeah, I know. I agree. He should have done his due diligence. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that necessarily you're bad at calling a game. You can be good at calling the game. But if you want to put in the tidbits. But I also understand if there was a Kevin Porter played in the league and Kevin Porter Jr.'s in the league, how you could quickly connect those two things.
If you're you or me, like I thought the Isaiah Thomas is playing in the league now. I'm like, oh, is Isaiah Thomas's son? No. Now that's okay for me to make that mistake, but like, you know, if I'm doing the game, that's egregious.
Well, I don't think it's egregious.
Absolutely. I totally think it is.
I agree that he made a mistake, but I don't know if I'd put it into the egregious. He's a junior and there's another guy with the same name who played in the league. He didn't do his due diligence.
Yeah, I think due diligence is part of the job.
I agree. I don't put it at egregious or bad play by play. I put it as he should have done his due diligence. It happens. Okay. I mean, he could be good at other things, or may have made a mistake. Also, I don't know how long he's thought that. Maybe he did it in real time. I don't know. But either way, it's only that because the guy who's his real dad went and fucking shot a 14-year-old. If he didn't, we wouldn't be talking about it. If his dad worked at a hardware store, this wouldn't be a thing. So the other thing, too, is like, oh, this is a thing now because his dad did something horrible years ago. But if his dad just worked at the post office, nobody would say anything. But that doesn't mean it's this guy's fault. Anyway, LeBron's not backing down. I thought it was an interesting story.
LeBron seems to be really into like court justice these days, because remember, he's had fans kicked out for heckling him, for talking shit about his kids. So I think this might be like his new flag to carry, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting, which is it's interesting. I was kind of thinking about Tom Brady and how this didn't pertain to him, but guys,
all thoughts go back to Brady.
Well, you spend your first 10 years in the league just playing basketball, you know, like trying to excel on the court, and then you get super rich and you get influential and you get powerful. And then you retire and you go into the booth or you go somewhere else. But LeBron's at a weird thing where he got very influential, very rich, and very everything.
He was super famous before he ever stepped foot into NBA court.
That's right.
Right. But he was super famous for basketball, and he kept it that way, or he liked it that way. But now he's still playing, so he still has his platform, and he's getting political. And he's just a douche. Let's face it.
LeBron? I mean,
LeBron's a douche. His last one was digging and find the fucking tweet where he remember that horrible story a year ago where the black teenage chick was thrusting the knife at the other chick and the cop shot her?
Yeah.
Right.
He's basically called that cop a murderer. She was thrusting a fucking knife at another black person and got shot.
Well, and just because he's super into politics, as you say, can you remind us where he stands on the NBA's relationship with China?
He's fine with that. He's worried about people from Houston who are uneducated speaking out about it.
They need
to be educated.
He's a fascinating, I'm not a LeBron fan at all, but he's a fascinating guy in that, like, he was world famous from the age of a teenager, and now he's sort of transcended basketball to being this, I don't know, voice of justice or whatever. I don't know, whatever he's branding himself.
The voice of justice part is fine. Wanting to get everyone canceled and finding racism everywhere, that's the destructive part of his mission.
Whereas the interesting part is doubly because many famous athletes, Jordan, et cetera, wouldn't touch any of these waters.
They shut up and they dribble. That's what Jordan does.
That's what we want.
What was that tweet with the cop? God, when was that? A year ago?
Yeah. Let me find it. Sorry.
I'll let you look that up. I will hit my first spot here. Concrete. Number one, stimulant free. Pre-workout supplement, Concrete, patented creatine. HCL is a favorite of elite and informed athletes. All the strength and endurance benefits of creatine without the negative side effects like cramps and diarrhea. It's the only creatine females should be using for increased lean muscle because there's no water retention or bloat. Your brain uses about 20% of this stuff, of creatine, by the way. Dr. Drew's all up in it. I want for about a 5-mile walk yesterday in Malibu. I took myself a water bottle. I put some Concrete in it. I shook it up and I just sipped it the entire way. Start your New Year's resolution off right with Concrete and amplify your workouts to burn off those extra holiday calories. It is Concrete, right, Dawson?
Optimize your health and fitness, both body and mind. Build a better you with Concrete. And if you register now at concrete.com/podcast, you can win a free membership to Planet Fitness for an entire year, plus a $500 Walmart Visa gift card. That's concrete.com/podcast to be one of multiple winners. And Concrete is now available online and in-store at Walmart. Concrete is truly changing fitness and health.
Did we find that tweet or did he take it down?
He did delete it.
Oh, okay.
But it, what did it say? Oh, it said, "You're next, hashtag accountability." It was in response to the police shooting of 16-year-old Makia Bryant.
You're next?
Yeah, he put a picture of the cop and put all caps.
You're next, hashtag the guy.
Accountability.
Wow. And the guy.
That's a failed threat.
There's a black woman who was stabbing another black woman. Okay. Thanks, LeBron. We'll take a quick break, come back with the news right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
But we've lost some heavy hitters over the past few days. You know, we talk about this stuff coming in threes. We had our beloved Betty White. And now we have Sidney Poitier, screen legend, died over the weekend in the Bahamas at the age of 94. Brian, did he make your list of they were still alive?
He is a perennial all-star. I have to take him off the list now.
But that's right.
So, I think there, like, you know, you talk about the Mandela effect. I think there was, if you Google, there's like the Poitier effect where people are convinced he died, you know, many times over in the last 10 years.
He was 94.
He, by all accounts, was a great guy. Heard plenty of good stories about the man. Had won his Oscar the year I was born in 1964. And never won another Oscar.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, I think that was for Lilies of the Field. You're the first black man to win Best Actor.
Which is funny because you wouldn't call that anywhere near his most iconic role. You know, people
right.
know
I would assume he won another one in 1969 or something like that. Like he literally won one the year I was born and never won another Oscar.
Yeah, and I mean, we've heard of all these: To Sir with Love, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, The Heat of the Night, No Way Out, Blackboard Jungle, The Defiant Ones. He starred in Broadway productions. He starred in Raisin of the Sun, then did the film. So quite prolific. He leaves behind a wife and six kids. His parents were from the Bahamas, so he had dual citizenship and, you know, not a bad place to retire. Now, on the other side of the spectrum of beloved mark-free past, we lost another actor, screenwriter, director, Peter Bogdanovich.
Oh boy.
He died at the age of 82. Some of his highlights, the 1973 film Paper Moon, which I grew up watching and
loved.
That's a great movie.
Love it. Tatum O'Neill, youngest ever winner for an Academy Award for that movie. The Last Picture Show, Brian, you may know this. This was his second film, made 2 years later, won Oscars for Ben Johnson and Cloris Leachman, and made stars of a young Jeff Bridges and Sybil Shepherd, who, let's just say he took a pretty big interest in Sybil.
She's a great actress.
Yeah, many Sopranos fans, of course. We all know him as psychiatrist Elliot Kupferberg. He's Dr. Melfi's doctor on the show. And, of course, we've talked about this before. Bogdanovich stood accused of seducing the 13-year-old half-sister of his murdered girlfriend, Dorothy Stratton, then paying for her to have cosmetic surgery so that she looked more like her sister.
It was a pretty incredible story. Oh, Dorothy Stratton is star 80. She's a beautiful blonde. I think the story goes that she's Canadian and she's got this. I mean, be careful what you wish for, skeezy boyfriends, because I think her Canadian boyfriend.
Pimp boyfriend.
Took pictures of her and like submitted it to Playboy when that was a big deal and Playmate of the Year was a big deal and blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, she's coming out to Hollywood, and now she's hanging around at the Playboy Mansion, and this guy's off at, you know, in Moose Knuckle somewhere, snowed in, and he's, of course, trying to keep things going, because now she's the toast of the town, and she was spectacular. I don't know if you can remember what she looked like.
Very pretty lady. But 20 years old?
Yeah, she was. I think she was 20. She became Playmate of the Year. And, of course, Bogdanovich is hanging around the mansion as well. And then he becomes her boyfriend. And then this Canadian boyfriend moves out to Los Angeles. Basically, you know, she tells him it's over and he stalks her and then he kills her brutally. And then Bogdanovich hooks up with her sister, who's in Canada.
And hey, we all grieve differently.
And I guess still a teen.
And by any stretch, definitely a minor. Not just a teen.
Yes.
A minor.
That's mean.
Yes.
So he'll
be never. But by the way, the never really, I guess, got Me Too'd or anything.
No, never stuck. It was part of the era. You know,
right.
I mean? It's just the era.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about. Yeah, between him and who fled to France? Yeah,
Roman. Right.
It was a different time.
Yes.
You know what's not a different time? The three white men convicted of murdering Ahmaud Arbery. They received their sentence and they're going for life. So Travis McMichael and his father, Gregory McMichael, were each sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The neighbor, William Roddy Bryan, was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility. Oh, I'm sorry, with the possibility of parole. All three men have said they plan to appeal their convictions. Earlier in the sentencing hearing, the defendants and the court heard emotional victim impact statements from Arbery's mother, father, and sister could have helped sway the decision for the non-parole of the father and son.
Well, good. Let's celebrate this then. In a world where we're constantly talking about white men killing black men and getting off, they're going to jail these days. There's a new trend.
That's funny you put it that way, because in my casual just observation of social media, this didn't get as much traction as George Floyd or fill in any number of, you know, more cause celebs.
The thing that I have found with social media and a lot of the news outlets is there are many cases that are kind of layups in the white.
Open and shut.
There's cases where there was a case, I can't remember the name of it, and you guys can't either because it doesn't get any traction, which is white cop shoots black suspect and then he like planted a gun on the guy and he shot him in the back. Pretty open and shut. Cop goes to jail.
Right.
Those stories are easy and we're not that interested in them. Social media and news outlets are interested in the more difficult stories where there's a narrative that needs to be forced into it, like, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse or something, white supremacist goes hunting for BLM activists or whatever. That's a tougher story because it's a lot more nuanced. And it's interesting in that the ones that are sort of layups, we're like, yeah, fine, moving on. Mm-hmm. We need the ones that are difficult, where there's a lot more he said and she said, and then we try to force a narrative into it, which I have a theory about, which is social media and the, you know, big news outlets, that doesn't really take much to go black guy. Three guys pull up in a pickup truck, black guy's dead. Like that's pretty easy. Or white cop shoots black guy, plants gun. Yeah. That's easy.
We got it.
The ones they have to do are the ones where the facts don't really line up for them, and now a campaign. Now we gotta really get behind something and morph it into something.
In a weird way, the facts conveniently don't line up because, as we all know, social media feeds on outrage, right? And when so-and-so gets off, the cop gets off, or the whatever, who this person isn't convicted, then the outrage machine is fed. Then it blows up.
Yeah, and also they are disgruntled employees, and the boss bringing donuts is not anything they're interested in. They're interested in the urinals backed up again. Like they're going to keep moving to the disgruntled part. these kind of stories actually prove we have a decent society and a decent system. And if somebody does something and breaks the law, then whatever color their skin is, their justice will, yeah, justice will prevail. That goes against their theme. Their theme is justice will not prevail. So they always ignore and never celebrate these types of things. And they move on to the injustice that they perceive.
Well, that's very interesting. And I wasn't going to highlight this as a story, but because it sort of falls so perfectly into what you're talking about. The three former Minneapolis police officers who were present when George Floyd died will go on trial later this month for violating his civil rights. And in the context of this conversation, what I think makes it so interesting are the three police officers are named Thomas Lane, okay, Jay Kyung, and Tu Tao. So I believe both of the J and Tao are Asian.
Yeah, when I go to the Thai massage place, they always yell, "No Tu Tao." I grab for two.
Just the
you
one.
Know what I mean? I want the one around the waist and one on the shoulder.
We got to wash. Right. It costs money to wash these, buddy.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering.
So I'm familiar with the phrase.
When you put it like that, if because the two out of three of the police officers are not white, if this will also be sort of not a big headline. Nega, I assume.
Well, Brian. I will say, unfortunately, you being a Jew, you understand this. Asians, we don't really count them as minorities. They are the they are the most minority. There's many less Asians than blacks or Hispanics, and there's less Jews than blacks and Hispanics. But Asians are doing better than white people, so they're not counted as a minority. So it's hard to get Hispanic or black can use it. Asian, hard to use as a minority.
Well, that's interesting. I get that point. I was sort of thinking of it from the standpoint of there's been a lot of like Asian hate, Asian abuse, random beatings of Asians. And so, you know, more of a sympathetic ethnicity that, you know, in general, we want to protect because there's been this insane outbreak of people hurting Asians as opposed to our two individuals who may have committed some major crimes.
If I was going to be charged for killing a black man, I would rather be Asian than white. But if I were white, I would immediately go gay because then I would trump the Asian.
Do you see
how justice works?
Yeah.
You see, I would immediately start sucking cock. Mm-hmm. And a doctor up some pictures, you know. And
transition.
So we're in a dress. Transition. Brian's right. I would transition.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Now, the Asian could as well, but their parents would kill themselves. So that you can't do that as an Asian.
Oh, my God. Your mom might get 10 more years.
Oh, my mom would love. She'd love.
She'd like the Grinch. Her heart would grow 3 sizes.
I am telling you. It would break that box.
That's right.
If I transitioned, my mom would be over the fucking moon.
She'd start talking about you to her friends.
Oh, and she'd be like, finally, two daughters to ignore. She would. My mom would be. First off, I've told you many times, if my grandmother would have loved it if I was gay. All her friends were gay. She loved it. She thought she was early money on the intersectional points thing.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm a white heterosexual woman, but if I surround myself with gays, I will then be progressive and I will be on the vanguard and whatever. My grandmother would have loved it if I was gay. My mom would love it if I was transitioning.
Still time.
I should tell her.
Yeah. Well, at this point, what's the harm?
Yes. Start planting that seed.
Send her off with a happy memory.
Yeah, start asking her questions about hygiene. Yeah.
Fashion.
Fashion. Are all earrings clamp on, Mom, or that's just yours? Okay.
Well, speaking of what may sound like gay code, the NFL is reportedly considering removing the Wonderlic aptitude test from the pre-draft NFL combine.
We need that.
So each year, and you guys know all about this, but for anyone who doesn't, each year, every player in the draft is required to take the 50-question multiple choice personality and intelligence quiz, which has been used for decades to supposedly measure a player's cognitive ability. According to Yahoo Sports, the Wonderlic is former Cowboys coach Tom Landry that's it's his brainchild from the 70s, who reportedly relied on the test to choose prospective players during a decade when Dallas made four Super Bowls. But it's been,
yeah,
it's been criticized for many years as an outdated and ineffective method for predicting an athlete's success in the NFL. They haven't decided yet whether they're going to pull it, but it is on the chopping block.
I got to say something to everyone who wants to get rid of everything. Everything that is old isn't necessarily outdated. You know what I mean? It just happened to be around.
The wheels
works. Your car has five wheels, the steering wheel. Family, education, hard work. Yes, these are all outdated notions, but they've been around for a while because they work.
They stood the test of time.
You should be able to use the Wonderlic if you want to use the Wonderlic. If you're a franchise and you want to administer it, you should. And again, going back to the Asians, don't have to worry about those pesky Asians or Jews kicking ass on the Wonderlic. That's one test they're not going to excel at.
We do test well.
I know, but you. But
you're not
no
in the
one,
NFL, you don't.
No one's going to. No one's going to ask you to take it.
We should ask someone next time we have someone here would know. Jay Glazer, Rich Eisen, whoever. Has the Wonderlic ever affected anyone's draft position? Has any team ever passed on Jamarcus Russell? No, because he had a bad Wonderlic score. Or, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, did he benefit? No, because he had a great Wonderlic score.
I think I heard Leaf. Was it Ryan?
But he was the second overall pick. That's my point. Like, he didn't get hurt by a bad score.
I think it depends what position we're talking about. They probably don't ask interior linemen on the defensive side of the ball, perhaps, to take the Wonderlic. I think it's probably administered to quarterbacks. Do you think everyone takes it?
I'm pretty sure.
Hmm.
Well, Dave Vishek would.
I say in the era of Tom Brady, the Wonderlic is important score because if we. All right, let's put it to you this way. Everyone famously knows Brady and his 40 time and the pictures of him and his gym trunks and the vertical and how much you bench and how much you squat. Not really applicable for Brady. It is about his mind.
Mental,
and as a quarterback, for sure, you want to know what that guy's football intelligence is, or just general intelligence, which could be applied to football.
Do you want to know average score in the NFL by position of the Wonderlic?
Oh, yeah.
I bet linemen are higher, or at least offensive linemen.
Highest score?
I bet offensive are higher than defensive.
Mm-hmm. All right, the highest score. Offensive tackle with 26.
Center's probably.
Center's next at 25. Good. Quarterback, 24.
This all makes sense.
Guard, 23.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end, 22.
Yeah.
Safety, 19. And linebacker, 19. Cornerback 18, wide receiver 17, along with fullback with 17, and then halfback at the bottom with 16.
Oh, really?
That surprises me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what some of these questions are? Do you want me to read them to you?
Sure.
Here, I just Googled Wonderlic, and this is the Wonderlic practice test. Dog is to veterinarian as blank is to dentist, and you get stomach, leg, eyes, teeth. So we'll go with teeth.
Well, hold on. What are the options again?
Then there's refuted, irrefutable. Do these words have contradicting meanings, mean neither the same nor the opposite, or have similar meanings? So these are all these are like test questions.
Reasoning questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Interesting. Yeah. All right. Britney Spears, I generally wouldn't. You know, this wouldn't be newsworthy, but I saw these pics, and on behalf of the two of yous, I decided to bring it up. Right. An Instagram photo, actually a couple of them, of Britney Spears went very viral over the weekend when she posted naked pictures of herself with a little heart emoji over the vagina and one of the nipples because she's kind of positioning her arm. The singer, who is now free to do and say whatever she wants, posed naked with a pair of white thigh-high stockings and put those up, and the caption read, free verified free woman energy has never felt better.
I feel like she's making the case of the people that wanted the conservatorship the second she lost the conservatorship, or they lost it. Didn't seem like that.
If it were you or me or Gina, I imagine for the next 6 to 8 to 12 months or whatever, you'd play it pretty close to the vest in terms of your naked pictures or stuff you post on Instagram.
I feel the same way, like from Goodfellas, when you come pulling up in the Cadillac.
Take it back.
Take it back.
Take it back.
It's under my mother's name. Take it back. Like, this is the Lufthansa heist.
Yep. Yeah.
You heisted a bunch of cash. Now, just lay low. I feel that way every time somebody, you know, they bilk the state of California out of millions of dollars.
They rap about it.
Then they rap out, but they built the state of California out of millions of dollars for the COVID stuff, and then they buy a Lamborghini the next day, like cash, like just hang out for 6 months.
You know who Brittany is? Maury. Maury's Wigs.
Yeah.
Gotta get paid. Where's my money? You gotta get paid. You know what happened to Maury?
That's right.
He got strangled in with piano wire.
No, screwdriver in the back of the neck.
She's now,
which one got strangled in the car?
The Godfather.
Thank you.
Didn't Maury get in the car?
Maury got in the car. He got a screwdriver.
A screwdriver in the neck.
Thank you. Or an ice pick.
Might have been ice pick.
Yeah, I think ice pick. Phillips would go in okay, but a flathead. she first off looks like she has some tattoos down in the region. Is that
the
just
nether
me?
Region?
Is that just
I
me?
I mean, if she had a couple of well-placed butterflies, would you be surprised?
No, but
you got to get a better look.
Something's down there, but she's just naked with the knee-high socks, and yeah, she's definitely got a cross and a star.
She's a religious woman.
Or something, but she's down there totally. I was kind
she
of...
She has...
Yeah.
Chris just highlighted the pubic region.
They're both like literally... pointed to like they're going into her vagina.
Yeah.
Rachel Perry. It's
weird. Yes. Yeah. It's weird. I always kind of wonder about the, I don't know, fiance. Like I know he doesn't get a vote, but how come you don't go like, eh? Yeah. It's just, come on. Let's go mountain bike riding.
Let's walk on the beach.
Also, I don't know what her thing is. I mean, it feels a little thirsty to me. Is Brittany 40 yet?
She's probably like 39. Like, remember, she has two essentially grown-up children.
She just turned 40 last month.
Yeah. She turned 40 last month. Oh, yeah, you got grown-up kids. I don't know.
But after you've been essentially imprisoned for 30 years, and you're not a claims adjuster, you're a pop star. Isn't this exactly what she would and should be doing? You know, like think of Miley Cyrus, who was never under conservatorship.
But you think like Nelson Mandela got out of prison and went, look at my nutsack.
But that's what I'm saying.
Get a shot of the sack. Because I've been locked up for so long.
Gotta make free.
But he never sang, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman.
Well, we don't know that,
Free
Gina.
Nelson Mandela.
Right.
Well,
that's
not
right. Sack. That's right. Remember that song?
Mandela?
Yeah.
Wasn't that? I was like, it was about him.
It was a K-Rock song. Yeah. It's kind of
really?
A good. Oh, yeah. There was a Free Nelson Mandela hit. On K-Rock.
Please tell me Nelson sang it.
And it was kind of a cool kind of calypso, reggae kind of thing. And I never knew they were saying Nelson Mandela. Because I don't think I even knew who he was. But it's like, I was just making up the other part. Like, free as a Nutella. Dun, 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 dun. Like, I was like, I don't know what they're saying. I didn't know it was Nelson Mandela. We'll find it for you.
I had no idea. The only pop culture reference to him I really knew as a kid was on The Cosby Show when they named the kids Winnie and Nelson.
The Specials sung that song in 1984.
Wow.
Produced by Elvis Costello.
Wow.
Wow.
Pretty good song.
Nelson Mandela. Free Nelson Mandela.
Ever hear this one, Gina?
No, but I like it.
Yeah, it's got a good vibe. I wish I'd known what they were talking about in 1984.
Free, Nelson Mandela.
This could be my new karaoke jam. Trying to score some intersectional points, you know? Move over, hell is for children. I got another message for the audience. All right. One more, Gina Gran.
You got it. That does seem peppy for a man who's in prison from apartheid, but I like the song. So we talked about Karens, and I think there might be a new leader in the clubhouse. I wish I had video. I don't even have a picture of her, but I think you'll appreciate it nonetheless. A drive-thru employee at a Long John Silver's in Indiana was attacked by a customer who was told she could not just buy one single hush puppy. Two hush puppies come in an order. That's $195. The customer wanted to buy one for half the price, but was told they couldn't do that. But wait for it.
How much for one rib?
Exactly. Just pour it in my hand. She went crazy. She entered the restaurant demanding to speak to the manager, started throwing things, and kicked the pregnant drive-thru employee in the stomach.
To Karen.
Yeah.
That's right.
She may be a to Karen.
Indiana, you never know. The irate customer. And
by the way, if that woman miscarries, that'll be the best day of that fetus's life. I mean, let's be honest, people. Yeah. Your mom's working the drive-thru at the Long John's.
Versus a huge settlement.
In Indiana. Come on now. That's a good day.
Yeah. Is that taking one for the team? Because she's going to clean up after that?
That's a good day.
I see.
That's a good day.
She and someone else jumped into the car, took off. Cops are still investigating over one hush puppy.
Well, look. It's never been a worse. Fast food is turned into like gruel for fucked up poor people who are diabetic and fat. Like it used to be, hey, we won the football game. The Pop Warner team's getting burgers at McDonald's. Now it's turned into some sort of hellscape. You know, first off, the 24-hour ones, the drive-through ones. Also, there's just been a clear Mason-Dixon line in our country, which is. Everybody ate McDonald's some of the time when I was growing up. It was always a treat, and it was treat enough that the coach would be like, "We're last game of the year, we're going to McDonald's." You know what I mean?
Right.
It was a thing. So the average American ate at a McDonald's 4.7 times a year or something. Now half of America is never going into a McDonald's, and it's been two decades. And the other half fucking lives at the McDonald's.
Right.
And that's going to get a certain group in there that you don't want to deal with.
They had the double vaulted, you know, double pane glass before COVID.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of but whenever I think of this, not every day, but a lot of days, more than I should. I don't know why. I still feel embarrassed for the Clemson football team. It was the Clemson Tigers who went to
the White House.
Fancy dinner in their suits to the White House. President Trump is there to welcome them. They think they're going to have lobster for the first time, try a filet mignon. And it was just tables and tables of fast food wrappers.
Yeah, he had McDonald's, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, there was some represented there.
Yeah. That's Trump. That's a signature Trump move. That's why he did it. That was Trump on Trump.
No, totally. And I get that you think, what? They're kids. They'll love this. But, I mean, their mom's buying them their first suit. They're being shown how to tie a tie because you're going to a White House dinner. Wouldn't that just be talk about out of the hot tub and into the snowbank?
I just think that could be the Trumpiest Trump thing ever.
Yes, I agree.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Look at my nutsack. Gina.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Solo stove. Nothing like gathering around the fire on a cool evening. A smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove makes all your outdoor moments even more memorable. And right now, you can get a great deal on a Solo stove fire pit. These things are substantial. They're great. I use mine, especially when it's cool outside. It's brilliantly engineered, made with premium grade 304 stainless steel. That is the good stuff. 360-degree airflow system that maximizes efficiency while minimizing smoke. Easy to light with just a few bits of starter. Perfectly portable. And you can take it when you go camping, you go on trips. It is portable. It is Solo Stove. Right, Dawson?
Shop now and get up to 30% off fire pits all month long and use promo code Adam to check out to get an extra $10 off, plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns. Just go to solostove.com. And remember, you get $10 off when you use promo code Adam.
All right, we'll take a break. One-on-one with the great Scott Baio right after this.